are rejoicing. Good news club. We had 65 kids. So it was a blessing, and every one of them had been eating sugar all day long. So, and we were about three people short. And we had those kids, they were wide open. But praise God, we still got to preach the gospel to them. And we still got to encourage them, play some games with them, and teach them the verse to them. And so they actually think, considering as much sugar as they had had probably all day, and being 65 of them, that was a tremendous blessing for us to be able to not all die there. It was amazing. We're looking forward to Timothy and Daniel getting back, and that's going to also be a blessing. And thank the Lord for that. How many of you got to have a Valentine's treat today? Some of you get to eat on some goodies. Oh yeah, that's good, good. How many of you behaved yourself and didn't have any sweets at all? Okay, we got one or two. Jeremiah, you don't count. You're just sweet yourself, okay, buddy? So you don't need any sweetness. But yeah, right. But we are thankful for tonight. I got something I was thinking about doing tonight, but I don't know how much y'all would appreciate it or not. Subject came to mind, you know, when I thought about, man, Wednesday night Bible study on Valentine's Day. I could go a lot of ways with that. But you know, one that came to mind, and I'm thinking about it, I don't know if you guys would be up for it. I have a little experience with it. So does Joanna, I think to some degree, from our time in France. But you know, the Bible, Paul talks about, commonly, talks about the subject of a holy kiss. I didn't know it'd get that quiet. Wow. It's biblical, folks. Now, wait a minute. It's biblical. I see all these shades of red going on around both sides of. Yeah, it's biblical. In fact, you don't have to turn there. I'll turn there for you. I don't know if we'll remain there. I'm just trying to get a feel of things right now, seeing how this might go. And but let me read. Paul was encouraging the church in Rome. He was trying to be a blessing, and he was closing his letter up. And yeah, go ahead and be thinking about who you're going to kiss. Okay, so Romans and Romans 16. He says to them here in his letter, he says that he's writing to them in verse 16. He says, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. You know, that's biblical, is it not? I tell you what, if you want to hear a real funny story, you talk to Brother Jim McQueen one day about what a holy kiss means. All right. I'll let him tell you. He said he just saw it. He didn't experience. Amen. Yeah, you get him to tell you about that. But seriously, in France, it was very common that we would. I mean, it was totally common. I mean, it was almost as normal as we would be. As we come into church, we shake hands. They give what they call a bisou. A bisou. Joanna, do you want to demonstrate for them tonight? You don't? Okay. Basically, it's a cheek to cheek, you know, and other cultures do it too, but the men do it with the men, ladies with ladies, men with ladies. You know, it almost took us the whole year we were there more to get used to it. But you would touch their cheek with your right cheek with their left cheek, and you would one, and then hit the left side, two. That's what it was. So I did not put that in my prayer letters, okay, that I was kissing other ladies in the church, because you never know what that can, you know, do to your support level. But it was happening. It was bisou. That was how you greeted people. And so tonight, you know, if we want to remain biblical, I thought, well, maybe we could, you know, do something like this. But your pastor loves you so much that we're not going to go with the holy kiss. We're going to go with a Hershey kiss, okay? I want to give each of you a kiss tonight, all right? So I'm going to have you pass them around, Miss Beverly. and I'm going to give you guys a pass these around. I want everybody to have a kiss from Pastor, okay? It's not a holy kiss, but it is a Hershey kiss, all right? If you don't want it, just keep passing it. So, when y'all go giving testimony tonight or tomorrow, just say, hey, we had a great Valentine's. Pastor gave us all a kiss, all right? I was saving y'all some trouble on that. We're not going to go with the holy kiss, although they did do it. But, you know, some things we can, modify culturally. I'm thankful. But let's go to the book of John. Go to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. John chapter 21, and praise the Lord. We're going to look at this verse right here, several verses. I'll just begin reading there in verse number 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Now, you'll remember, as we'll see here in just a moment, it'll tell us in the Word of God, this is the third appearance of the risen Savior to His disciples. And now they were out fishing, and of course He called them in, and of course it was John that noticed it was Jesus, and when he told Peter, Peter was off the boat. He was ready to get to the Lord, and they were excited to get to the shore where Jesus was, and He's saying, come and dine, and that's the setting we have here. The disciples are gathering around the Savior around this campfire where they're cooking some fish, having themselves a little fish fry. That's why I believe fish fries are biblical, amen. But verse 13, we see here, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples, after that He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, they had had themselves a nice meal there. Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, kind of singles out old Simon Peter here. He says, with all the other disciples, sure, around the crackling fire, sitting there just had a nice meal. He singles out old Simon Peter. And he says, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now there's been some debate on who are these. Is that the fish? Is that the disciples? Well, I guess it could go either way. There could be application made in both directions. I tend to believe he was talking about the disciples there, and him explaining what he's going to teach him about love. So he says here that he says, lovest thou me more than these? And of course, Simon's response was, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. All right, so here we're going round two. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. All right, here we go, round three. And he saith unto him the third time, Jesus is talking to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I just thought I'd bring this thought here tonight as we meet together, that we too need to listen to that question tonight from the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are coming before you because we are thankful tonight. We're rejoicing in the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful for your love, your everlasting, unending, unfailing love. It is precious, Lord, and we're just asking tonight that, Lord, there's no doubt. There is no doubt that you love us. And so tonight, though, Lord, as you would question Simon Peter and his love, Lord, would we too be questioned by your Spirit tonight on do we love you? And God, I just pray that you would guide now and strengthen us and help us in this area. And we'll be thankful for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we see here, we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I just want to kind of give some key points here. One is, you would not be able to tell it right there in the English language, but there are two different Greek verbs here used for love. The first two that Jesus uses here to ask Peter if he loved him, he says, do you phileo me? That Greek word phileo, it's love, translated love here. And that's a correct translation, by the way. But it is a different, it is somewhat of a different type of love. It's not as deep. It's not as sincere. But nevertheless, it is a good love. God even uses, Jesus uses that phileo, that word throughout the Word of God, throughout the New Testament. But we see here the first two that Peter always responded, even when Jesus said that the other verb he used was agape, agapeo. And that is, was Jesus, his first two questions were, Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me deeply? Do you get this? Do you love me more than anything else in this world? Is that your love for me, Peter? And just, that was the first two. And then the third time, the third question, Jesus did use the same word as Peter did, phileo. Now, again, that phileo is not a bad love. It is a brotherly love that we all have for the brethren. God commands us to have both. But can I just kind of paraphrase for you, not to do any damage to Scripture, Lord willing, but I'd just like to paraphrase a little bit for you this scenario. What happened is, Jesus calls out Peter because, remember, Peter was the one that spoke up before the crucifixion. And he was the one that said, Lord, if there is anybody in this room or in this place or in this garden, wherever we're at, listen, if there's anybody that would deny you, I would be the last one. I would not deny you, Lord. And of course, we know the story, how it continues. He was the one that spoke up, and he would deny three times, and it is interesting that Jesus would question him three times. I really sincerely believe that Jesus Christ knew that Peter loved him, because he says he did. There was a phileo love there, but there was, again, there was a lacking of some committed love, some unconditional love, and sincere love, because I believe the first question was like this. If we were in the same setting, it would have been like this. Simon, do you love me? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Lord Jesus. You know that. You know that. Oh, yeah, we're good. You know I love you, Lord. That would have been probably the first one. And then that didn't satisfy the Lord Jesus, so the Lord Jesus is going to go with another question. Same one. Simon. And Simon, there's no telling what he was doing. They're shooting the breeze around this fish fry, carrying on. And the risen Lord's here with us. We just had, our bellies are full. We just had a good eating. Man, this is great, isn't it, guys? Maybe the Lord's just gonna go ahead and set up his kingdom, you know. Hey, who knows? Things are nice. And he said, no, Simon Peter, did you hear me? Simon, do you love me? And of course, that second time, maybe Simon Peter was like, well, I'm paraphrasing here, but maybe he's like, yeah, well, I just told you, Lord, yeah, I love you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know my heart. And so then that was the second time. And then maybe Simon Peter went on about his business again, maybe in a different conversation, whatnot, but the Lord wasn't done with him. He was going to point him out. This time he got him again. Third round. Simon. Do you love me? And this time he used the same word, phileo, love, and to teach. And what is Simon? Simon realizes that what the Lord is trying to teach him, because we see his response. He says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And one of the things that we need to learn from this passage is what was Jesus trying to teach Simon Peter through these questions? I believe the same thing he's trying to teach everyone in this room tonight, all of us, is the question when Jesus says, do you love me? Now, when we had Good News Club today, those kids had made some of the most creative Valentine's boxes. I mean, everything from Rapunzel to fire trucks to, I mean, you name it. I mean, they had all these neat looking Valentine's boxes where they put in their little cards and whatnot. They brought them all in, but they were slam full of candy. And man, they got to the Good News Club, they're just, and I was, as I was putting them in the car today to parents, I was like, y'all have a great evening, okay? But you know, I think about Valentine's candy. You know what, one I really like? I hadn't partaken this year, trying to be good, but is the little hearts, the Be Mines, All Yours. Anybody eat any of these this year? Anybody eat any of those? They're not really that good, are they? They're just kind of cute. They're just like, kind of like chalk, right? But you know, you give those ones and it's Be Mine, All Yours. And you know, we think about that. That's cute. But in the strong sense of that terminology of Be Mine, All Yours, you know, I think one of the questions that you could maybe put on a heart that the Lord Jesus was saying to him, and this, even in the beginning part of this conversation, was this: Simon, is your heart all mine? Simon, is your heart all mine? I believe that's what Jesus Christ, in essence, was trying to get him to understand, that the love that Jesus Christ desires from his children is not a shallow love. There are three types of way that really the human, that we could respond to God. And there is the feelings, are the emotions, all right, that we respond to God. Those are important. Feelings are important. We feel the love today, don't we? You know, you have flowers and candy and cards, and you just feel the love. There's nothing wrong with feeling the love. I like feeling the love. Amen. Don't you? Amen. Everybody likes to feel the love. But then you also have feeling the love, but then you also have the feeling emotional part, but then you have the intellect. That's the way we respond. That's what we know. That's what we understand. That's the intellect. That is another way we respond. But then there's a third way that we respond, and that's the volition. We respond volitionally to the Lord. We respond willingly and voluntarily. We make a choice to go, yes, whether we feel it or not, we choose to love the Lord. And you can imagine Peter was quite emotional, was he not? Man, the guy jumped off the boat. He was pretty low on clothes at the time, but he put a coat on. He donned a coat, jumped off the boat, and he was making a beeline to the shore. And the Bible says the other ones just got right there by the boat. But man, he was, you know what? Peter was an emotional fellow, was he not? Woo-wee! That fellow would speak up in a heartbeat. And he got his feet before his brain, and he got his tongue before his brain many times. Now, I know how Peter feels there. And so, but this time he was full of emotion. He got on that shore, and just perhaps that he was so filled with energy, God, the risen Savior was there. And you know what I believe Jesus was telling him? He says, Peter, you've got to love me even when you don't see me. Peter, you got to love me when you don't feel me. Peter, you got to love me when you don't even sense me. It's a volitional decision from the child of God to say, God Almighty, my love for you is not just going to be a phileo love when it feels good to love you. Lord Jesus, I am going to love you no matter what. Peter was about to go and give his life. He was about to enter into a ministry where he was going to be imprisoned. He was going to be persecuted. He was going to be mocked. He was going to be ridiculed and eventually murdered for his faith. And Jesus Christ was telling him, look, Peter, going forward, you're not just going to be able to love me, just phileo. I have got to be number one in your life. I have got to be number one over the fish. I've got to be number one over these disciples. I have got to be number one in your life. And I believe many of us struggle with a shallowness, and we've talked about that in our theme, but it just tonight, this just bringing forth this idea of our love for the Lord. Sometimes we're shallow because we love God just upon our feelings. Oh, hey, when God's blessing me, when the bills are paid, when, man, the prayers answer coming in, then we're all glory. Isn't God good? Oh, I love the Lord. Hey, but what about when everything is going south? Where is our love for Jesus Christ then? And I believe that's what our Savior was trying to teach here to our brother Peter. Who, by the way, was more spiritual than any of us. I don't think any of us have walked on water. But he was being tested by the questions of the Lord here. And I'm so glad he did. And I liked where he says the Lord Jesus emphasizes here. Isn't it a blessing how Jesus Christ emphasizes here? Lovest thou me. Lovest thou me. I like that emphasis of me. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up. Now get this. We can. I believe it. We can get so caught up in the things of Christianity when we lose sight of the person of Christianity. The doctrines are important. The service. Serving the Lord, that's important. We all know that. And these little things that go around Christianity and are very much connected with Christianity, it's a part of who we are in serving the Lord and loving the doctrines of the faith. I'm not criticizing those things, but we can sometimes make those the things that we pay the closest attention to instead of just Jesus Himself. Falling more and more in love with Jesus Christ. A fervent love. That we truly can not hand Jesus Christ a piece of candy, of course, but in the same message, mean it from our mouths and our hearts, saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. You're my number one. All you husbands in here, your wife is not number one. Jesus Christ is number one. You wives in here? Your husband is not number one. Jesus Christ is number one. That's the way we put the priority on our Savior. And by the way, if Jesus Christ is number one to either of those spouses that I named, if Jesus Christ is number one, your spouse will feel like number one. Because of the love of Christ will be shown to them. But I know that this is a message that truly speaks to all of us. And our love for the Savior. And I just want to leave us with that question tonight. Do we love the Lord? And if Jesus, and He is, if Jesus were asking this question to us tonight, and He is, and He would put your name, not Simon there, but if He were to say, Brinson, do you love me? And what if he were to add to that, just like he did with Simon Brinson, do you love me more than these? And I could fill in the blank. But Jesus knows exactly where to point the fingers on these. We all have these in our life. And quite frankly, have really cluttered our direct, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, our love for Him. I would encourage you tonight, teenagers, you too, you're not exempt. Jesus Christ wants your heart just as much as He wants anybody's heart. I trust that you will make Jesus Christ your number one and say, Lord, I'm yours. My heart, my everything, I do love you. And may the Lord be glorified in that. I'll never forget the testimony I heard from Brother Halsey. He was saying that one of the first times that God taught him in many ways about this thing of love, he was talking to his wife, and she did not respond the way he thought she was going to. But he'd simply just told his wife, he said, honey, I love you. And his wife's response kind of caught him off guard, but she looked at him and said, Johnny, I know you do. And I just wonder tonight that if we do say that from our hearts to the Lord in prayer, I wonder if the Lord would whisper back by His Spirit into our hearts, I know you do. May the Lord help us by His power and His strength, because it is an impossibility to love Jesus Christ in my flesh and my power. It must be the power of the Holy Spirit living through me, living through you. Let's pray.